105.4 Magic 105.4
Sunday night, Magic 105.4. Time for indulgence and time to say hello to Ronan Keating.
How's it going? Are you well?
A bearded Ronan Keating.
Behave by the beard of my chinny chin.
He's grown up. Look at him. He's a man.
Yeah, I'm a man now.
Right, we'll talk more in just a moment. Let's play one of your first songs that you've chosen, Take On Me by Aha. So we'll talk about why in just a moment, as we... So much to talk about with you this time. This could be quite a session on the couch. I can feel it coming. Right, it's Magic 105.4 with Aha and Take On Me. One of the song choices from Ronan Keating tonight. Why?
My brother was a really big fan of Aha. And I just love Take On Me. I love the song. And it just brings me right back. And it was probably my first real taste of pop music, you know, at the time. Aha and Take On Me. It was a real... that's when I really started to discover music and get into it. I was only 5 or 6.
See, that's really worrying. You're only 5 or 6. Yeah. You're still so young, aren't you?
Well, I was 30 this year. I'm getting there now. I'm starting to get there.
See, we're going to get into Man's Own shortly, aren't we? You could never change the name of Boyzone, clearly.
No, and we did talk about it. Funny, you know.
Did you?
Yeah, and we thought, should we? I don't really think people care, you know, really about the names and stuff. I think it's more us, the five of us, thought... you know, I don't know how comfortable I feel about it, you know, Boyzone. But really, people don't care. And when you look at Take That and New Kids on the Block, I mean, they're just names. They roll off people's tongues. People don't really think about it. And it'd be wrong of us to change the name, because really what we're doing this for is nostalgia and, you know, right now. So to change it is just wrong. You know, it's just the wrong thing to do. So we've stuck with it.
Now, you did Children in Need a couple of days ago, which all seemed to go horribly well. And I have to say, it was a really weird thing seeing you all back together again, because I do remember the first time you ever came into my studio when I was at my previous station, and you were very young. You were 16 when you came in. It was hysterical. I don't think you could have grown a beard then. It was taking you 14 years to do it, let's be honest. But it was hysterical. Here we are all these years on, and it lasted so long, and then... Bit of an acrimonious breakup in a way, which we'll talk about how you managed to solve that. But back together, what does that feel like?
It's really weird. I mean, it started off last February where we thought, let's all, you know, have a chat, you know, to see how we feel about each other again. And let's see if we can, you know, be in the same room together.
Yeah.
And I'd met the different lads in different scenarios, but none of us had met, you know, as a five piece since that January 2000 when we broke up. Mm. So nobody knew what it was going to be like. And funny enough, we brought some cameras with us, you know. We thought, you know, I spoke to all the lads on the phone. I said, lads, I just think it's worthwhile that we just bring cameras into the room. If it kicks off or we get on well, at least we have it documented for whatever reason we want. Mm. So we brought some cameras with us. I got a camera crew with each of the guys in the car on the way to the hotel talking. So I don't know what was being said on those cameras still today, it's 10 months ago. But we got into the room, there's cameras in the room. We just sat down. It was like we were never apart. You know, we all said hello, we all sat down and we all started joking and we had a drink and it was like, wow, this is weird, you know, this is a little bit too easy. In the room, and you'll see that, you know, we're going to try and do a documentary or something with all this footage, because we've a lot of footage. You'll see it, we walk into the room and it's just, wow. And then Louis walks in and we're all just having a bit of crack and a laugh. And so we thought, this is great, let's go and talk to Universal now, let's see if we can do this. Mm. So we met Colin and David, the heads of Polydor Records. And they want it, and, you know, everything was just kind of falling into place. And it's true, there was this Mika song, and this was kind of, everything was all just falling into place. It was a little too easy. Mm. We got this amazing song from Mika. We put vocals on it. It sounded unbelievable. And we thought, we're ready, let's go. And then he said, no, I don't want you to have it.
And why would he say that?
I don't know. I mean, I've heard different rumours. I honestly don't know what it was.
Yeah, what was reported in the papers, he kind of didn't want Boyzone. Yeah,
he thinks we're too cheesy, you know, which I think is very weird coming from me, you know.
Camembert calling the cheddar.
I just thought, very weird. So, you know, but then someone else said to me the other night that Louis dissed him somewhere, and because of that, he didn't want it. So I don't know what the truth is right now. It's okay, you know, it's fine. Mikey and I got in the studio then and we started writing and recording, so, you know. For this, because basically the talk is, what we're going to do is we're going to have a greatest hits package.
Okay.
And we're going to put a new song on it. It's not a new album, it's just two new songs on
it.
So we're in the studio and it's going really well. We're having a lot of fun together, Mick and I. Mick and I never wrote together before.
Wow.
In Boyzone, you know? Well, we all kind of stood in the studio and wrote the odd song here and there. But Mikey and I never got down. And now that we're writers, you know, we kind of know a little bit more about the craft and we, you know, it's what we do every day. So for both of us to get in there, and there's two egos in the room. It was quite interesting for the first time we did it, you know, because I didn't know what Mick was going to be like. He didn't know what I was going to be like. And it was great fun. We've really, Mikey and I are getting on real well together, better than we ever did in the band, you know.
Interesting.
It really is.
Well, everyone's a bit older and wiser and things have happened and...
Yeah, I'm enjoying being around.
Time mellows us all, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm enjoying being around Mick. You know, we have good conversation. We have a good laugh. I guess we're older. We're men now. We're fathers. It's funny.
Scary, isn't
it? It is really weird.
Well, we'll play more later on. We need to play No Matter What. I've just dug it out because that would be such a nice record. We're talking of greatest hits.
Yeah.
And probably one of your biggest.
It is. It's funny. This song is timeless. I mean, you listen to some Boyzone songs and go, oh, that didn't date well, you know? A bit dodgy, but No Matter What's timeless. You know, we're lucky with that one. It was attached, Andrew Lloyd Webber and Jim Steinman penned it and produced it. And it's a great song and it still stands up today. So we're lucky we got that one.
Magic 105.4. It's The Indulgence. If you have just joined us tonight, a fascinating conversation with Ronan Keating talking about getting back with Boyzone. But there's No Matter What, which actually, what year did that come out now?
No Matter What
Scare
would
me.
Have been 98.
So that's nearly 10 years
nearly
old.
Nearly 10 years ago.
Which is quite incredible.
Yeah, and
it's
still
a great record,
good.
Though. It does. You see, that. Well, great songs will always stand the test of time.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys did a lot of ballads, which was good because ballads always do age better than, say, real pop songs or dance songs, don't they?
Yeah, some songs, some tempos are great and they last, you know, stand the test of time, but not all of them. And ballads probably do it better. I wish we had done more up tempos, really, now that you're looking at it. And now that the tour's, you know, been announced, which is very exciting, you know. You know, you're looking through the tour, the list of songs, you're thinking, we could do it a few more up-tempos.
Yeah.
You know?
There'll be a lot of sitting on stools.
Yeah, you know, we don't want that. We're not about that, you know. Because I saw the Take That tour and it was like, wow, these guys are better than they were the first time
around.
It's
brilliant, isn't it?
It's brilliant. And I'm so delighted for them that it's worked out. You know, they're good guys and they've done really well and they're talented. Gary Barlow's a real talent, man. He's a brilliant songwriter.
And you've signed your man at Millet Steel with the boys so you can all get...
Yeah, you know.
With little camouflage gear and your hoodies ready to go.
Here we go again.
Now, let me ask you an honest question. Because a few years ago, I remember sitting down with a couple of the boys and literally, I know if you had walked in that door at that moment, they would have pinned you to the floor and beaten the living daylights out of you. There seemed to be some really bad feeling.
Yeah, there was bad vibe.
There was. So I'm not going to ask entirely why, they're not here to give. But what I would ask is, how do you manage to get over that? How do you get to a situation where actually, you know, you said you went into a room and everything was great again?
Yeah, it was time, I think. It could only be time. You know, at the time when we first broke, it was a break.
Yeah.
A break led to a breakup, you know. And after that then, and some of the guys that, you know, they wanted to get the band back together. But I was, you know, in the middle of life as a roller coaster and loving each day. And I was in LA and I'm, you know... what I was doing was important to me, you know. That's what I wanted to do. My music was why I got into the industry in the first place, because I loved music. I wanted to make records. I wanted to, you know, write songs. I wanted to, you know, to sing songs. This is what I wanted to do. And that was the next step for me, to be a solo artist and move forward like that. And I couldn't sacrifice that because, you know, as you know, you've seen artists come and go. If I was just to have dropped it there and then, I might never have got that chance again. Mm. Now that I've waited and I've established myself as a solo artist, I'm 7 years a solo artist now. Boyzone were only together 6 years, so I'm longer solo than I was in Boyzone. You know, now I have the ability to be able to go back to Boyzone and off the back of it still be a solo artist.
Mm.
I've built my fan base around the world and I can do that. And I hope that the guys, well, I think now they understand that. They're older, I'm older, that they understand that I had to go and follow my dream at the time. And if it was anyone else, I'd like to think that I would have done the same for them. I think, you know, they were angry with me that I wasn't coming back as I promised, as I said I would do.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's what it was. And I understand that. And I think a lot of the reason why I'm back now as well is because I feel I owe the guys that. I do owe them this.
You can understand their sort of anger.
Yeah, at the time. Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
The way they dealt with it, I wasn't totally impressed with. And, you know, the way it went on, it was a bit, you know, well, you know, that's another story. But,
yeah, exactly.
You know, but... Yeah, you know, I think half the reason I'm back now is because I feel I owe it to the guys, so that's why I'm here.
And time is a good healer, isn't it?
Let's be honest.
Time is a good healer.
Yeah, I mean, Christ, I'm talking to Louis Walsh again, you know?
That's incredible.
Time must be a good healer.
Yeah, exactly.
Because whatever about what the boys said about me, what he said about me, man.
Yeah.
You know, that was full on.
Well, exactly. Now, Louis, a man who doesn't really mince his words.
No, I mean, you know.
God had some conversations with him where it was like, blimey, Louis, he's up.
Yeah. No, I mean, it was, Louis and I were, you see, the thing was, Louis and I were very close, you know, it was like a father-son relationship. So,
right. So he took it very personally.
Yeah, I guess so. And I didn't think he would. I really didn't. And I was wrong. I thought, you know, I thought I could say these things to Louis, let him know how I felt about how we were working together and that he would understand and take the criticism constructively, but he didn't. And it all fell to pieces. And he just ripped me to shreds in the press.
Yeah.
And I stood back and I let him do it. And, you know, what could I do? I wasn't going to fight back. You don't fight back with Louis Walsh in the press. It's not healthy. It only would have become a war. So I stood back and let him say it. And eventually he calmed down. And
so he was like the screaming Heather Mills to your Paul McCartney.
That's perfect, actually. That's exactly what it is. I am, you know, the great songwriter, Paul McCartney.
He's the Lady Mucker to your support.
My God. My God.
Oh, dear. Actually, do you know, I've really insulted Louis there by even comparing him to Heather Mills.
I thought you were going to say everybody insulted Heather Mills.
No, I like Louis. I'm only joking.
Louis and I, you know what? I'm so delighted. Honestly, heart and soul, I'm so delighted that Louis and I are talking again because part of me really miss Louis.
Yeah.
You know, I missed being able to pick up the phone and talk to him about certain things. And, you know, music, Louis and I really, we just had this great relationship with songs and music and we understood each other. And like I say, you know, he gave me this chance. And you know, that's why I gave him 4 years of my solo career. I owe that to him. I wanted him to be part of it. And it really hurt me when he went on the way he went on. I mean, it really hurt. It really did. Because we were very close. So that was hard. But, you know, I'm really delighted that we're talking again and that we can work together again. And, you know, it's nice because I look up to Louis, you know. I have a lot of admiration for him.
And you can speak frankly to him now?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's probably better now than ever, you know, because, you know, with Louis before, I was always afraid to disappoint him and always afraid to, you know, stand up to him, you know. Now, you know, he said all he can say, you know.
Yeah.
So really, you know.
But if you can talk honestly to him, please tell him that he does talk bollocks on X Factor sometimes.
Well,
but I'm sure you've said that.
Yeah.
Now, let's play another song. You've chosen Every Breath You Take by The Police.
Yeah.
Which is a cracking tune.
Oh, man, what a song. I mean, Sting is just, he's so cool, he's so brilliant musically, as a singer, as a songwriter. And The Police were just, they are a timeless act. I'm so happy to see them back. I mean, we're talking about nostalgia here, why not? You know, it's great to see The Police back. I didn't see them live this year. I was gutted. When they played Dublin Crow Park, I was away. I hope I can catch them at some stage if they're going to do some more shows. My brother was a big fan of The Police, still is today, and I always remember this song being played over and over in the house. And, you know, that's where I think my love of music came from, my brothers and sisters, you know, record collections. I had this huge collection, everything from Alan Parsons Project to Elvis Presley. And it was, you know, I listened to all of it.
Wow.
I'd go and put on their vinyl records down in the living room and play them over and over again. And it was my sister's culture club to me, brothers, Aha, and, you know, all of this different music. And it was like a carnival. It was brilliant. And it just educated me. And, you know, that's really where my love of music has come from. So that's why I've chosen these songs today, because it's a cool little story, you know, and I thank people like Sting and The Police for where I am today, because they've given me those different flavours and attitudes towards music.
Right, it's Magic 105.4 and it's Sunday Night Indulgence, just indulging actually in a little bit of nostalgia with Ronan Keating tonight, which is lovely.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about Boyzone and getting back together and doing stuff, picking some interesting songs as well. Now before we heard those adverts, we were playing Police, Every Breath You Take.
Yeah.
And you're saying what an influence they are. I can imagine that the next band that you have chosen must be, for anyone from Ireland, the greatest influence.
Yeah.
You two.
Absolutely. I mean,
not just a band. I mean, they're a world force now, aren't they, really?
Yeah, even more now than ever. I mean, that band have got stronger and stronger. And I've been honoured to be in their company and to be around them. Boyzone were invited in the Sweetest, to be in the Sweetest Thing video. And I've got to know some of the guys and met them at different functions and so on. And they are unbelievable. I mean, they are the real deal. They are rock and roll gods, and they are so cool. And the songs are absolutely genius. I mean, for four guys to be in the same room and come up with sounds and songs like that, we're all very lucky to have it, you know, to have that band. They're just unbelievable. So, yeah, growing up in Dublin, you two were a huge influence on all of us, you know, everyone. But to be in the music industry and to be in Ireland, they're a huge influence on any Irish band, you know, because you can actually see how it can be done, you know.
Is it the frustration with being in a band like Boyzone that you can't... You know, when you go to a rock concert, you don't see U2 in concert.
Yeah.
Like, four guys up there, drums, guitars. It's kind of the big rock and roll dream, isn't it? Is there part of you why you wanted to go and be solo? And when you do go live, you like to rock out a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, I wanted to be John Bon Jovi, you know. off I went on my little, in my jeans and my denim jacket and, you know, my spiky hair, and I thought, yeah, I can be John Bon Jovi. I can't, and that's okay, and you understand that. You can't just turn around and change, and you know. But I had a go at it, and it was great, and I lived the dream for about 24 minutes, you know.
Paddy McJovie. Yeah. It ain't quite the same, is it?
No, it doesn't really have the same ring to it.
But yeah, Ronan McJovie.
Top of the morning to you.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm living on a prayer.
And I'm halfway there. Yeah.
Not. I'm dead or alive. Yeah. I'm really sorry for the accent there. I sound like Zig and Zag or something. Yeah, just shocking, one of those dreadful leprechauns.
Okay.
Right, let's play the record. With or without you, U2, Magic 105.4.
Different song completely now.
Right, okay. Off the back of your song by Elton John.
Into your song.
Okay. Right, Magic on Sunday night. Just having a chat with Ronan Keating about the impending... Well, you have got back together now, but you're going to be doing a tour, which you mentioned on... I want to talk about. You mentioned on Children in Need and the tickets miraculously go on sale tomorrow morning. So
funny
this
that.
Has come out
yeah.
weird there at a good time. But how strange is that? You're about to go on tour again.
I'm excited.
With those four boys.
It sends a tingle through my body, man. I'm so excited about it. I wasn't last year. I couldn't... I thought, no, I'm not ready for a tour. Maybe, you know, we'll do a song, we'll do something. I'm so excited. We've already started talking production and all these different things. Because my shows, when I went solo, were very different. I stripped it down. No dancers. You know, I had production and so on, but didn't have all of that, you know, the campness that was surrounded by Boyzone. And it was so much fun. It was a laugh.
It wasn't camp, was it? Never noticed that.
Fair enough. No, but it was, you know, it was brilliant fun. You know, we had so much, you know, we had all the dancers and it was all so colourful and the energy was brilliant. And, you know, we invented the cowboy hat on the fans out there. You know, it was just brilliant. And
actually, your gigs were more energetic than necessarily your greatest hits would probably suggest.
Because absolutely, yeah.
You do, you know... quite a chilled out selection of songs. You're saying earlier on you wish you had more up-tempo ones, but actually when you went to see you live, it was a really good party.
Yeah, it was good fun, and we always tried to look like we were enjoying it. And we were enjoying ourselves on stage, you know, unless we weren't feeling well or something. But 9 times out of 10 it was always a carnival for us and great fun, and you know, the stories were brilliant and the laughs, and we'd be talking to each other on stage and having a laugh and a slag backstage, and you know, it was always great fun. And I'm, you know, I realise now that I miss that. I didn't realise when I was in the middle of it. I was so consumed in that bubble when you're on the road with my band, and, you know, and my band were amazing. They've been my family on the road while I've been travelling. And I'll always want to do that as well and dip in and out. But this is a real pleasure to be able to, you know, to do this again. And I'm really excited about it. It sends a bizarre sensation.
Is it nice that the pressure's off you? Because people that go solo, obviously the one, you know, suddenly you're in a band and there are five of you.
Yeah.
Now all the questions and all the attention's diverted onto you, which to start with must be really lovely because it's, you know, it's all me and it's all going well.
Yeah, but
again, it must be nice in a way to go back into a bit of a fun time with the boys.
Yeah, and I'm really looking forward to it. The pressure's off. I mean, you know, I'd have to carry for the last 7 years. For the last 7 years, I've had to carry, you know, the show, the hour 45 that I do on my own vocals. And that's every night I'd go on stage thinking, OK, how's my voice going to be tonight? And God, I would just relax now for a few songs and warm up into it. And, you know, with Boyzone, we just went on stage. Stephen was singing, Mikey was singing. It didn't matter. There was this going on. And you could breathe between songs. Someone else was singing. It was fine. You had your time. there was someone else could worry about that and someone else could handle that. And it was nice. And it's nice to be able to go back to that now. And now I can relax. It's almost like, you know, it's time off here. I'm sitting back and getting back into the groove again with the lads. And it's going to be really a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to it.
Now, you've picked as your next song one of the greatest solo entertainers of all time, which is Elton John.
Definitely.
He's clearly, you know, carried it on his own for such a long time now. Your song was actually his first big hit, which was, I think, 1971, rather scarily. Were you even born then? No.
Oh, I was born in 77.
That's terrifying, isn't it? Right, so why this one?
This one's quite important to me. When I went solo, Elton invited me over to New York. He was doing a show called One Night Only. And he asked me to sing with him in Madison Square Garden. And he said, pick a song. And I picked your song because it's my favourite Elton track.
Yeah.
So I stood up in front of whatever it was, 10,000 people in Madison Square Garden over two nights and sang that song with Elton John. And I thought, wow, I mean, I've just left Boyzone, which at the time were, you know, we were at our peak.
Yeah.
And now Elton John's asked me to sing with him in Madison Square Garden. This doesn't get any better. And I just thought, wow, this is unbelievable. It was magic. It was a magic time. It was brilliant. And I had the world at my feet. It was a real amazing time for me. And I don't remember 5 seconds of being on stage. It was an absolute blur. So every time I hear the song, I try and remember. I try and put myself back in the moment.
How much Jack Daniels did he drink after that?
Oh, my God. We had such a party afterwards. It was unbelievable. And it was Brian Adams was there. Anastasia was there. Billy Joel was there. Mary J. Blige was there. It was an amazing two nights. I mean, it was just nuts. You know, it was just unbelievable. It was a bubble for the night and New York City, man. Nobody even knew my name.
Wow. I'm just laughing. You mentioned Anastasia then. That was just quite funny. Yeah. Just remember at a party in the park, you and me got completely burned when we were staring at her in those leather jeans. God, they were low, weren't they? God, they were fantastic.
So were we.
We were. And then we got caught, didn't we?
Her.
Yeah. Oh man. And she laid into us, but in a lovely, respectful way,
respectful way. Let's do Party in the Park again. Wouldn't that be great?
Oh, that'd be hysterical.
That's what the boys on. Foxy.
Well, now look, let's play your song. I mean, what a great story, I have to say, and I kind of digressed at the end there. Your song from Elton John, this will bring back some very nice memories to you then.
Indeed.
Okay, the next one is coming out of a break. It can be a nice speed link
into Groovy Kind of Love.
And then we need to do stuff about the Emerald and Ivory.
Yep. Lovely, yep. Okay. Right, Magic 105.4. I have the bearded wonder that is Mr. Ronan Keating choosing his songs tonight on Indulgence.
Thank you.
Now, you've chosen Groovy Kind of Love from Phil Collins. We'll play it and talk afterwards.
Okay,
one word that sums it up there. What feeling? If you had to have one word to describe the song for you, what is it?
I said caramel.
Caramel?
I don't know. It's a bit fucking weird, isn't it?
Jesus Christ.
I don't know. It's been weird.
Okay, well, that's good. Like, look, that's good. Yeah. There must be a reason you said that, so now we're going to discuss it. Groovy Kind of Love, one of Ronan Keating's songs that he has described rather surreally as caramel. So just let's get inside Ronan's head. What's that about then?
I have no idea. It's like sweet. It's like the song is almost too sweet in a way, but at the same time it's mushy, you know. Caramel gets mushy and it's very weird. I don't know why I said caramel. I'm trying to dig myself out of this one.
Do you want to go get some chocolate or something? Yeah, that's fine. Should we leave it there?
I haven't had a piece of chocolate in 3 weeks, right? I've been on a diet.
Oh dear.
I'm trying to get myself fit and ready for Boyzone, you know. It's been interesting and I haven't had a potato or a chip or a packet of crisps or a piece of bread.
It's been completely carb-free.
Absolute carb-free. No sweets, zero. And
is that
anytime
why your
people
breast
ask
stinks?
Me, yeah, thanks, pal. Thanks.
I'm not kissing you again. Unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. It's shocking. But anytime people ask me about anything, I relate it to food straight away.
Yeah.
It's really weird. I just relate everything to food
now. You're food-obsessed at the moment, yeah.
I am. I'm weak all the time. It's very hard. But I'm starting to come around now. I'm starting to eat things that are helping me again. But yeah, I'm getting there.
Well,
I've lost 8 pounds, you know. And that's all I needed to lose. And I'm ripping. I'm in the gym 3 days a week doing heavy weights. So I'm feeling good.
Are you going to be in vests on this tour? Will there be any vest action going on?
I'd be pretty naked, I'd say, all of us, you know.
It's really? Pretty, okay. It'll be very interesting.
Pretty sexual.
Having seen Stephen like that dancing in his skates last year, I don't want to think about that anymore. Let's talk about the Emeralds and Ivy Ball, which we did last year, and that was the first one and it, at Camden Roundhouse, and that all went very well. And this year, it's doubled in size, and obviously, you know, it's all been inspired because of your mum.
Yeah,
really,
I mean,
to start with, hasn't it?
Yeah, you know, it's a real honour. Yeah, it's a real honour, though. It's I can't believe it that we've moved from Ireland, where we started with the Marie Keating Foundation, you know, and we put our three units on the road. We've had our black tie events, and you know, which happened 2 weeks ago in Ireland. And it's, you know, it's worked as a charity. It's worked, you know. People have started to pay attention. You know, we've seen in the statistics in Ireland, there's been a 7% increase in the survival rate of breast cancer in Ireland in the last 3 years. That's a huge step. So the government have now come on board with us. We've now gone into the part of the curriculum in the schools in Ireland, secondary schools, fifth and sixth year, now can learn about cancer through the Marie Keating Foundation's paperwork, you know, that we've launched in the schools as part of the curriculum. That's unbelievable, you know, that the government have, you know, noticed us and allowed that to happen. Noticed us.
That must give you a lot of comfort, though, mustn't it? It must give you a lot of comfort that, look, your mum died, and that's a tragic time in your and your family's life.
Yeah.
But out of it, some good has really come.
Yeah, well, we've been shocked at times that we've been able to achieve that.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't take the credit for it now. My sister, Linda, has just been unbelievable, you know, at making it happen. And then the staff that we hired, you know, and the people, our CEO and, you know, our chairman on our board, those people, you know, give their time and energy so much more than you could imagine. Mm. All hours of the day, answering their phones, you know, going out of their way. They're the real heroes in the Marie Keating Foundation. And through that, we then struck up the relationship, as you know, with Cancer Research UK, and we now have the two units on the road here in the UK. It's gone from strength to strength. You know, without Magic and without you, Neil, last year, that ball would have been, you know, wouldn't have been half of what it was. It was unbelievable, you know. We raised £500,000. I mean, that doesn't happen in Ireland. Never. You know, the most we raise is maybe 150, 160,000 euros on a night. £500,000. You know, and children, you know, we couldn't believe it, and Cancer Research UK couldn't believe it. Mm. It was an amazing night. Brian and Delta sang. The room was full of faces. The warmth, the love in the room, you know, people wanted to be there, people wanted to give. You know, Catherine Tate got up and she did her piece.
She was good.
You know, Stephen
Louis
and
Walsh
I got,
hugged you.
Louis Walsh hugged me. Yeah, that was a moment. And you know, no, it was great. It was great that Louis could be there. You know, and you know, at that time we'd started talking, and it was great. And Lou and I, you know, we could have a laugh by then. And, you know, the Westlife lads were there, and Stephen came along from Boyzone. My band were there. I performed. It was brilliant. It was great. So here we are. It's our second year. What's it going to be like? No idea. You know, it's like
perform?
The second record.
You're obviously going to do some more songs.
I'm going to do, a couple of songs.
Get boys, all the boys back?
Well, I hope maybe the lads might get up and, you know, if they're around to get up and do a song, it'd be amazing.
Yeah,
you know,
be lovely.
It'd be nice. I mean, there's no, you know, there's no plan for Boyzone to perform on it in any way. If we're all in the room, it'd be great to get up and do a song.
Be kind of stupid not to, wouldn't it?
Yeah, you know, it's not filmed or televised, so there'd be no other agenda other than just,
nice.
You know, a nice thing to do, you know, for everyone in the room, to give them something, you know. And
Westlife, are they coming
Westlife,
again?
Well, hopefully the lads, spoke to Nicky last night, and he's trying to, you know, get the guys sorted for it, and,
that's
you know, they're saying they'll definitely be there, whether or not they can perform, because they've they have to fly out early in the morning, and, you know, they don't want to be singing and doing another, you know, the voices and so on. I totally understand that. So we'll see what happens there. And Louis's going to be there. And, you know, I've got all the footballers and golfers and, you know, Lee Westwood, Darren Clark, they're all there. And Alan Shearer's there. And, you know, it's just great. It's a great energy. And I'm excited about it. I'm nervous about it because it's like my little baby, you know.
I
work from literally the week that finished. I started, you know, working on it for this year. And
how much do those mobile units cost?
Oh, man.
What does that cost?
I mean, it's twice the money that the units in Ireland cost, because they're the most elaborate, incredible units. They're the trailer of a 40-foot truck.
Yeah.
The side of it comes out, and, you know, we have wheelchair access, we have the steps, we've got private rooms, we've got TV screens, we have a kitchen area. It's incredible. And it's all about making people feel relaxed in their surroundings and their environment, you know, that they can come in and, it's comfortable, and that there's privacy if they want to talk to a nurse. And, you know, and what they cost, it's 250,000, you know, to get them going. It's a lot of money.
So that's why last year you could get two of these things. It's amazing.
So we've got to pay for the nurses, and we've got to pay for, you know, the staffing in the office, and, you know, all of those things, and the paperwork, and the, you know, all the bump, you know, everything you read, all that kind of stuff, all the gear. So, You know, it takes a lot, but again, the people are brilliant. Children, cancer research, I keep going to say Children in Need. Cancer Research UK are an amazing team of people, and they've been great to work with. I've really enjoyed working with the guys there. You know, the partnership has been, the friendship has been brilliant. And they've really made it happen for us over here. We couldn't have come over on our own. And all the money we raise in the UK, it's very important people know this stays in the UK. The money we raise in Ireland stays in Ireland.
Okay.
And the money that we raise in the UK stays in the UK. We're about to go to Germany next because the Deutsche Krebshilfe, which is the German Cancer Fund, have now seen what we've done in the UK and seen what we've done in Ireland, and they want to do something there, which I just can't believe that, you know, that, you know.
Are you big in Germany?
Yeah. It's
I know you did that thing before the World Cup. A friend of mine was there and he phoned me up and he just said, you'll never believe what I've just seen. I went, what? He said, there's Ronan Keating standing there at the Brandenburg Gate in front of 500,000 people doing Iris.
Unbelievable.
How was that?
Absolutely magic. And you know what the best part of it was? I walked off and Pele was standing backstage. I just thought, this is cool.
Wow.
It was very cool. And Sir Bobby Charlton, sorry, as important.
Yes.
Pele and Sir Bobby Charlton standing backstage. It was very cool. A very cool moment. You were there, Andrew.
God.
It was cool. But it was unbelievable. 500,000. I could only probably see about 50,000 people. You know, it was right in front of the Brandenburg Gate and it kind of goes back and then it goes left and right behind trees and forestry kind of. But they had like screens on every road. So it was about 100,000 people on each road. And it was myself, Nelly Furtado, a few other bands were on, and it was just brilliant, you know, to be part of the opening ceremony of the World Cup in Germany, to be asked to do it, and just the energy. It was a carnival, you know. There was a party everywhere in Berlin that night.
But Boyzone big in Germany.
Yeah, we did well. Like, no matter what, was our biggest probably, and that was just as we finished, so it probably would have got bigger and bigger. But I've been very lucky to have a great career in Germany, you know, and I can continually go there and do shows and tour. And they're very loyal fans out there, you know. They stick with you, heart and soul, you know. It's unbelievable. So, no, it's been great in Germany.
Well, we need to play your final song, sadly, because this has been a very interesting chat now. And so I've picked this one out in a way, and I know you love it, When You Say Nothing At All.
Yeah.
What is it about this one?
Well,
why is it so... Because it has lasted. It's such a magic favourite, this record.
You know, I hear it and, you know... I hear you's playing it. It's funny, you know. It is one of those songs. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is. I was lucky to get, you know, to be invited to sing. Richard Curtis called me while I was still in Boyzone, and he said, "Ronan, got this movie, Hugh Grant, Julie Roberts, called Notting Hill. I have this song. I'd love you to sing it. I don't want Boyzone. I want you to sing it." And this was really weird.
Did he specifically say,
"Yeah, I want you to sing it"? Yeah, and it was weird because, you know, I at this time I wasn't talking about it going solo or anything like that. I was, you know, very much involved with Boyzone. Everything was going well. So I went and put a vocal on this song with Steve Lipson. And I remember actually being at the Royal Variety. And the demo, you know, the kind of rough edit came in. And a friend of mine had a stereo in his car and I said, "You wouldn't bring it up. I'd love to hear it." So he brought it up to the dressing room. And the four lads are in the room and they put it on. And I went, "Whoa, this is weird. I'm standing in the dressing room with Boyzone and they're playing my solo record." And I thought, this is really weird. And nobody said anything to me, you know. It was like everyone was just listening. Oh, God, I don't know. I had to walk out of the room and I called my wife then. I was just, this is amazing. You're like, "Wait, hear this. This is brilliant. Will you hear the song?" So I got very exciting and then it went on the movie and I shot the video with Kevin Godley and Richard Curtis came down and it was a great buzz and then it came out. It was number one.
Yeah.
I went to the premiere and I met Julia Roberts and she came up and said, "Well, this song made me cry the first time I heard it. You know, it's beautiful in the movie." I thought, "Oh man, this is mental, you know." It was just mad. And I guess I got carried away and you know, and then the universe...
Do you think the fellas at the time, they must have... I mean, looking back now, must have
been looking
weird.
Back, it must have been really weird.
At that moment, they must have just gone, "Oh God, it's all over, isn't it?"
Maybe that's what they were thinking. Maybe that's where it started,
I mean,
you know. And I don't blame them. I mean, I could understand if they felt, you know, annoyed at me or whatever, but, you know. Anyway, and then Universal called to say, "We want to make a record with you, a solo record." So, and there's this offer on the table and it's like, wow, okay, I'm going solo, here we go.
Hmm.
And it was at the time then, by the time that, you know, everyone was ready for a break, I remember it was in Amsterdam, we were all doing a TV show in Amsterdam and it was a huge night. And our greatest hits had gone, you know, quadruple platinum in Holland, and we all went to the toilet for a chat, you know, as you do. And we were hanging out and having a laugh because it was bedlam outside in the club, wherever we were. I can't remember where it was. It was a club type of thing. And there was a big party for us and we all just sat in the toilet. I remember Barry, our security, was standing at the door because we just needed a second. And we started talking and we decided we needed to take a break. All of us. I didn't say, lads, I'm going on my own. Everyone said, I'd really like to, because Mikey wanted to do this, Stephen wanted to do this, Shane. And I thought, well, you know, obviously this is the time. It's the right time to do this. So we did, and we took a break, and the break led to a breakup, but not that long, because we're back.
Yeah. Well, exactly, you know, like all good relationships, you can get back together again. How long do you envisage it being for?
I don't know.
Well, actually, let's play the record, then. That'll be a nice way to end, actually. Yeah. But right, when you say nothing at all, then, from Ronan Keating, a last song on Indulgence tonight on Magic. Right, it's Magic 105.4, and that's sadly it for our Indulgence with Ronan.
It's been great fun. Yeah.
It has been really good fun, actually. I've thoroughly enjoyed it, actually. And you know, here you are sort of going back on the road with Boyzone. When is the first gig?
First show is May 30th, I believe.
Where's that going to be?
I think we open in the O2 Arena in London.
Fantastic.
Which is pretty scary.
What a great venue.
Yeah.
What a great venue.
I'm on my stomach just on a loop there, man, when I said that. That's mad.
That's great, though, isn't it?
It's really exciting. It's really mental.
And how are you with the boys? I was going to say, have you sort of... or what is the feeling in the sort of Boyzone camp? Is it, you know what, we're just going to do this album, this Greatest Hits, and we'll do this tour... and at the moment, that's it? Or is there the thought that, hey, if this goes well, we'll do another album together?
I have to be honest. I mean, a lot of my fans have come to me and said, no, we don't want you to go back with Boyzone. We want you to stay solo. So, you know, I have a responsibility to them as well. And I mean, on my website, there's a lot of comments about it. And I have to be, you know, I was responsible for that. And I owe them an awful lot. So, you know, I've been making a solo record for the last 12 months, you know, because I didn't know if this Boyzone thing was ever going to happen. So, you know, even though we started chatting in February, I mean, everything has been so vague along the way that I spent most of my summer in Los Angeles and in London and, you know, writing with Greg Alexander. And, you know, it's been a great time writing again. I've really enjoyed it. So I'm planning for an album. Don't know when that album's going to come out. It might be next summer. It might be next Christmas, 2008. I don't know. So I'm going to do this tour and, you know, Mikey and I are in studio and we're writing and hopefully we'll have a new song for The Greatest Hits with the boys as well, you know, with Stephen and Shane and Keith. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to this tour. I'm really excited. I think part of us are thinking this is a final farewell to finally, you know, say goodbye to Boyzone because it's been left open.
Right.
I'm really excited about being back on the road with the lads. I don't know how it's going to be. It could be great. It could be terrible. But I think it's going to be great.
Mm.
And, you know, I didn't think this would happen. So I can't say I'm walking away. I can't say I'm going to walk away after the tour. We might enjoy our you know, each other's company so much that we might start writing again as a band. And, you know, we might make an album together, but that's not planned in any way.
I think there's more chance of you guys staying together than the Spice Girls staying together.
That looks a bit mad, all right. Yeah, that looks a bit... Yeah, it's nice that they're back. I mean, it's funny, we were all kind of starting at the same time.
That one's definitely for the money, isn't it?
Yeah. All right, listen.
There's no other reason, is there? Yeah.
I'd love to be fly on the wall.
Wouldn't you? By God.
Yeah.
But that's for another time. Look, thank you for coming in.
No, thanks for
having us.
It's
been a pleasure.
Really delighted.
What's interesting is, if you're listening right now, you can download the full, unedited interview that we've just done, which was dated the 7th of November, which is quite hysterical. Yeah. You can get that full interview. You can get it from tomorrow. It'll be on magic.co.uk/podcast. You can get all the details, but it'll be up there from midday tomorrow. But Mellow Magic is coming up next. I'll be back on breakfast tomorrow morning on Magic 105.4 from the very early 5:30
in
the morning.
Lovely.
Which is nice. And Ronan said he wants to come up and make me tea at that time, which I thought was really kind, but you don't have to, Ronan. Good luck with the tour.
Thank you, pal.
Really good luck. And I'm really looking forward to coming and seeing it.
You have to come along.
I think it's going to be good fun.
It'll be great.
All right. Best of luck.
Thanks for everything, pal. God bless.
That was great.
Excellent.
Brilliant. Very cool.
Funny.
Hey, look, if that's John Bon Jovi can do two bands together.
Yeah, why can't I?
You've always said you wanted to be.
I wanted to be John Bon Jovi.
Right.
Brilliant. I really enjoyed that. Thank you. It was very honest.
Magic 105.4.